What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, welcome back to the B-List. I am here. I'm B, and I'm here with Evan Real. You guys know him as Lamb. Well, you're not Lambly. Yeah, you're Lamb. Are you Lamb? Are you a lamb?
I'm totally a lamb.
Yeah, you're absolutely, yeah.
I'm definitely part of the lamb, of course.
Senior TV reporter for Virtual Reality, which is part of Page Six. You're a co-host there. You guys have live shows. You have a live show coming up.
Yes, we have a live show coming up, I think.
New York.
Yeah, in New York at Chelsea Table and Stage. It's a really fun lineup of people we have.
Come to this one. Yes, I'm gonna.
Oh yes, please come to this one, because Jessel, your queen and your friend.
My queen. Yes.
She's doing the show with Bryn, which we are so excited to have those two together.
Yeah.
Danielle Cabral and Jen Fessler from New Jersey are doing the show, and then we also have Jordan from Winter House and Summer House.
Oh, that is good. Yeah. It's a good lineup.
Yeah, it's a really good lineup. And I know that like the Bravo fandom is just getting to know Jordan, but like, I don't know if you watch Martha's Vineyard, right?
I do. Cause you know, as you guys all know, I am a huge Martha's Vineyard, the show enthusiast. But I saw like some kind of like promo stuff with her. I'm not going to be watching Winter House, cause I just don't, it's like weird. Like, I think it's also like, I don't want to watch a show about like them being in the snow in winter, and also just the cast members. I don't really like that the mixes of people, but I love her. And I saw some promo that she was doing for the show, and she's very like quick, and she's really like saucy, and like, I really like her.
Yeah, she is. She's so nice. I don't know if you're like, I'm sure you remember the scene where she's like in that hot pink monokini, like dressing that dude down, the one who like came in for one night and then was like kicked out because
he just,
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that scene. It's like imprinted on my brain. I hope she comes to the live show in December in the same monokini. That would be my dream come true.
Well, we'll talk all about that. So in the past, you guys have had, I went to the first one? That wasn't the first one that I went to, though. It was like the second or something.
No, you went to the very first one, which was
It was Margaret and Jackie Goldschneider and Rachel Fudo. But this is before the new season had aired. It was like a couple weeks before.
Yeah, it was.
Meredith Marks was there, I think. Yeah.
Meredith Marks. Yeah. Rachel and Jen Fessler were in the audience, and that's before like people really knew who they were. Like, so crazy to think that like just a year later, they're both like fully part of the Bravoverse now.
And again, when's the date for that?
That is December 6th. So it's a Wednesday. Okay. And it's a holiday theme. So
okay.
Be festive.
Love start it. Can people get tickets online now, or is it?
The tickets go on sale, I believe, Thursday or Friday of this week. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you guys have questions about it, just go to Page Six Instagram, right? They can.
Yeah, we'll promote it on Instagram. And
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, backtracking a bit, it's Halloween. Halloween is literally hours away from being over. Thank God. Honestly, I'm so like, I'm fucking done. And it's my favorite season too.
Oh, it's your favorite season. So you're an autumn guy.
I am. I'm very much a summer person too. Yeah. I love, like, I'm even a winter person, but like specifically spooky season. But now I'm like, at this point, yeah. It's like if you have to have the parties on the weekend and then it ends up being like actual Halloween on a weekday, I'm like, I'm over it by the time the weekend's over. Probably. I'm like, you know, I did my Ice Spice costume and now I'm like, it's fuck the gym until 2024.
Wait, I love it. Yeah, the Ice Spice costume was so good. And I also love the fuck the gym until 2024 mentality. I wish I got a wedding coming up in like 2 weeks. So I'm trying to like look a little cute.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I saw your costume. Did you dress up?
I didn't have one. No,
okay. No, you're just,
I'm such a lazy Halloween person. It's always last minute if I do something. And like this year I just went to, like a house party at, Stephen, Faces by Bravo's apartment.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course Stephen had multiple costumes. He was like hunky Dory. So he had on like this like sparkly little jumpsuit with like Dory on his shoulder and he looked like so great. And then like for part of the night, he was Shannon dressed as Gina in a car crash. And then his dog played Archie. It was really thought out and really special, honestly. Do you know what's so funny is today is just like a day of celebrating Stephen. Me and Danny had Dorit on the podcast today. And
okay.
Dorit all of a sudden is just like talking about her love for Stephen and Faces by Bravo. Like today is really his
love day. That. Well, we love him here. He's been on here before. He's a frequent guest. I saw a couple of his costumes. Some of the top costumes that I've seen, I made a list. Lots of Britney with knives. Lots of those. I saw at least like five in one night.
I've seen them just online. I didn't see any in person. And I was so upset. We were walking through West Hollywood and my eyes were peeled. I was like, where's Britney with the knives? But I did not see her. So I'm jealous that you saw some of those.
Lots of McDonald's, whether it was a Hamburglar or like Grimace or I don't know, more than recent years. Like it's a lot of McDonald's. People have fast food on the mind.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at it. Lana Del Rey is Waffle House employee.
Oh,
wait, lots of those.
I love that. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. A couple of celebrity ones that I thought were really on point. Fat Joe as an Ozempic pen. So play on his branding. Ed Sheeran. Is that his name? Yeah. Ed Sheeran as Chucky.
Oh yeah. That was good. That was really
I'm sure
good.
You'd appreciate honestly, it because like, it's ginger representation.
I mean, I don't know how to feel about that one. It kind of makes me sad that like he honestly didn't really even need much of a costume.
Yeah. And Ariana Grande and Liz Gillies as Showgirls.
Oh yeah.
That Showgirls. Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Did you see Kim and Khloe as Bratz dolls and now Khloe's like bashed for blackfishing?
Did she didn't look that brown in it? Did she? I don't know. But then again, I didn't like look closely.
I don't know. It kind of looked like her typical spray tan moment.
Okay.
But I guess some people online felt like the level of spray tan was a tad dark. So
that's like always the story with them though, right? I mean, it's like, you know, it's like us being shocked by Ramona using the N-word, but that's...
Wait, did you see the news story today?
Oh, we're going to talk about it. I know. Unreal.
So I can't.
Well, actually one of the things on my list actually this week is people seeing the real Ramona. Like, not that we didn't know that she was like low key kind of like this. But like now we actually have like screenshots of text because I love how messy Page Six is. Messy in a fun way. Love. So Page Six reported just literally as we were getting on here, Ramona Singer tried to downplay her use of the N-word while practically using the slur once again. If you guys read the Vanity Fair piece, which we'll talk about in a bit, the Vanity Fair, what they quote unquote takedown of Bravo, which it really wasn't. And we'll kind of talk about that. But she was responding to, I guess, a Page Six reporter in response to Page Six's coverage of the book. Or not the book, I'm sorry, the Vanity Fair piece. And she texted them and she was like, I use the N-word, not, and she spelled out half of the damn word. I was like, be fucking serious, woman. Like,
I just can't believe
unreal.
Like, she put herself in that situation kind of like without, like unnecessarily, like,
hey, nobody would not.
Why did you do that to yourself? So, like, basically, my coworker, Francesca Bacardi, who is a phenomenal reporter, she covered the Vanity Fair piece about Ramona. And I guess Ramona said there was like an error in the article or whatever, and then like reached out to her and was like, hey, like, my alleged use of the N-word was not in a hot sheet. And like, for people who like didn't read the Vanity Fair piece, like, these hot sheets is kind of like a rundown of what happened during the day that producers then give like Andy Cohen and executives to kind of like figure out what's going on while they film. But Ramona was like, it wasn't part of the hot sheet. And I guess like we said that it was, or I don't know. I don't even know why that part was like really important, because like, if you said it, you said it. Like, it just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think she was really splitting hairs. Like, the point is that she.
Right. Yeah. And then she like followed up and was like, I didn't say, I said the N word, like the N word, not. And then she gave it like you said, like, it was literally.
She like volunteered, said it like.
Like an abbreviation. Like, it was just like, chill.
Can you not? This woman is like, I think there's really something to matter with her. But it's like, not that you have to have something to matter with. I mean, like, racism can exist without her being like, you know, eating paint chips, obviously, as a kid, which maybe very well did. I don't know. There's something off with this woman. But I just, Bravo, at what point do we say enough is enough? Like,
I'm like, because I'm going to BravoCon. This upcoming weekend, and
I wonder if she's invited. She's definitely invited.
She's there, and she's on the Roni Legacy panel, and she has a slot of time to walk in the press room. And I just can't imagine her doing interviews. But then again, if
they're going to ask her, someone's going to ask her.
So if she gets on the carpet and like does interviews, like, there's like a few different ways this could go. She could just do photos and skip interviews, but then that's a story. Yeah. And someone will write about that she skipped interviews because of her N-word debacle. If she does do interviews, it would be a really bad look on Bravo to go down the line of reporters and be like, no Vanity Fair questions. No, you know what I mean? So like, then that, like, that kind of becomes a story too.
Yeah, that becomes a story in and of itself.
And then if she doesn't skip the carpet, and if they don't give parameters, then it becomes this like absolute mess, and she just sort of like gives herself to the wolf. I don't know. I don't feel like there's any correct way for this to happen, that like, no matter what, it's going to be like uncomfortable. I think she should just like skip.
Yeah. It's so crazy because I feel like all of this stuff is not recent. Like, I feel like it's had to have been going on for a long time behind the scenes, just like all of the investigations into it. So you think at some point they would maybe just be like, maybe you'll sit Legacy out and maybe not have the, but it's just, I don't know. There's some interesting choices being made.
Especially because like, I mean, with everything in this like Vanity Fair, like quote unquote expose, like you said, it's stuff that like we already new. I mean, it was more thoroughly reported. So like, we got like some like, new details, some like new context, and you know, it was interesting to read it. And I thought the writer did like a great job with it, but like, it wasn't like groundbreaking or earth shattering or whatever. But when you kind of like, you know, map it all out, it's crazy that they welcomed Ramona back into the Bravoverse so readily and started Ebony so easily. Yeah. I just like don't understand like their decision to, you know, kind of like be on the wrong side of history. And like, I will say, Ramona did our live show in May. It was a Mother's Day theme, and she was fun, and she was pleasant, and she was nice, and she was very polite, and she had her shit together.
So I
don't want people to come for me and be like, well, you've had her at the live show.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Ramona is a very nuanced person, and it is surprising to me that she has stuck around for as long as she has with like what you are, you know, suggesting is that this problematic behavior has probably been like problematic for like years and years and years. And it just took Ebony to say something, but like no change actually happened. I don't know.
Yeah. I the way I feel about the whole Vanity Fair piece is that it was like kind of, it's like you said, it's like a lot of stuff that we already knew about. It was really well reported, but, and as you know, I know Leah, so it's like, I kind of already had heard a lot of this stuff. I was just hoping that they maybe had expanded the scope of women to talk to. Not that three women stories isn't enough, but I thought there was going to be some stuff that we had never heard of. Like you said, it's just like, it was kind of retreading stuff that we had already known. Also, I found it interesting that it was really specifically about Roni, and I thought there could be some really interesting stuff happening across the board if you would talk to. That's why I was shocked, because it was kind of blown up to be some kind of like huge takedown, and it really wasn't
right. Yeah, it's kind of a Roni expose and sort of like an
which expose. Sounds to me more like a production thing rather than although
I think if anything, like the people who lost in this situation were Ramona and Shed Media. I think Bravo and Andy were kind of like, whatever. Like,
yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
Like they were fine. Like it didn't really like cast them in too much of a bad light. That's a really great point. Like I wish that there had been more like franchises and shows covered in it. And like, it was literally just.
And a lot of it sounded like very current stuff. And I'm interested. I mean, these are franchises that have been around for over a decade. And it'd be interesting to talk to, has it changed over time? Or has it gotten better or worse? You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah. I also, one thing that I'm really interested to see, what if like Ramona does go to BravoCon this weekend. I don't know if you saw Kenya commented on a post about it, like all caps, like, nope. So I hope
Kenya's gonna be real. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Kenya will be there.
Yeah, Kenya will be there for sure. Yeah. And I hope she runs into Ramona. And also the great thing about like, Kenya can wrap people up. So if anyone can say something to Ramona, it's Kenya.
So BravoCon. So you're going? Are you hosting a panel this year?
I'm not hosting a panel this year. I was not. Okay. It seems like a lot of NBC Universal adjacent talent this time.
Okay.
And or like celebrities. But this time I'm doing, Danny's coming with me. So we're doing the press room together, which will be really fun.
Nice. Okay.
Back last year, the podcast had only been around for like a month or something. So it's just like expanded a lot over the past year. So now it's like definitely more about like the podcast presence at BravoCon, which will be fun. I'm honestly, I'm kind of like glad it's in Vegas just because like I live in LA and so like
it's
like 45 minute flight. But I don't know how you feel about Vegas, but Vegas to me is just like a really sad place.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been before. I agree. It's like it's kind of a sad vibe.
Yeah, it's like
it's not like New York. You could do anything in New York and it's like, you know, day to night, it's completely changed. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like motorized scooters and cigarettes. And I don't know. It's just
trash. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Speaking of BravoCon, right before we got on too, I guess Joe Gorga's been called out by some comedian at like, I don't have the exact venue written down, but he was being called out on Instagram for promoting a show that doesn't exist, apparently. And the person who was like touted as the headliner was like, I don't know this man. I don't know why he's promoting this. This guy is a scammer. It's like, yeah, just check it out. It's like literally like right before we got on here. But Joe Gorga, I feel like, is just constantly being like, I don't know, man.
You know, I
want to like Joe Gorga so much.
I do like Joe Gorga. He was on my panel last year for BravoCon. And I will say, before the panel started, he like grabbed me and all the husbands who are participating, and he took me to the bar and he like made me do a shot, and he was just like so like welcoming and nice. And then like, I am such a sucker for a short little muscle meatball, and I'm a Joe Gorga fan, so I'm rooting for him in his comedy career. I hope that there is a real show happening at Brooklyn. I don't know. That sounds really confusing. Why would you promote a show that's not real?
No fucking clue, man. But whatever happens with the Gorgas anyways, that ever makes sense, I have no fucking idea. Like, Envy fashion shows, and I have no fucking clue.
She's a businesswoman.
She's a businesswoman. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of that, like, I guess Jackie recently switched with Danielle on the panels that they're going to be on, because now the dynamics are all shifted. So now, because Jackie's friends with Teresa, it's like a whole thing. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's just like that the cast is so divisive, and it has been for years. Like, I remember last year.
Yeah.
I was hosting my panel. Originally, I was hosting like the New Jersey men panel. So it was going to be like a couple husbands together. And then all the women were supposed to do their own cast panel. It became like this half of the group and this half of the group with their husbands. And this time it's like half of the cast. And then the husbands are doing their own thing together where they're like learning a magic mic dance or something.
What is happening?
But I figured that the cast would be divided again this year. I don't understand how, like, I guess it just must be so terrible between Melissa and Teresa. But, like, it's crazy how no other casts
get this treatment to be able to do this.
Right. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, another pretty, like, toxic feud or situation on another. Like, what if Candace, you know,
even back Beverly Hills, really bad with
yeah, like Beverly Hills, like why?
Like, even when, like, in the middle of like Denise Richards and all that stuff, or they all still had to do stuff together,
right?
Jersey's like, I think Jersey, they're really worried that people are going to physically fight. They're just like, we can't have this.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be,
but I do. I mean, I think that the like shifting of alliances is interesting, because I think that, you know, a lot, like, I feel like Jersey, unfortunately, was like, I mean, I know that the ratings were like incredible last year, and it was like, I thought it was a really good season.
Yeah, but it's like nothing. We're not watching anything.
But I don't think like we could have like done like another season of that. You know, like we couldn't like remain stagnant. So, I mean, if Jackie wants to flip on over to the other side and Danielle Cabral wants to do the same, like, I'm here for it. I think it'll be really interesting. And like, what I'm hearing is that Melissa and Teresa, like, have not interacted at all whatsoever.
Yeah. Until the very end.
It's not so much like this side versus this side. There are definitely sides, but like there's like fights within each.
Yeah.
So
two different shows.
Wait, but that's how it's been described to me.
Yeah.
It's like two different shows. Yeah.
That's exhausting to think about. Just finished Britney Memoir. What do you think? Evan is a probably like more than anyone else I know, like the Britney kind of aficionado, Britney expert.
I love her so much. Like, she is like a part of my spirit.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved reading the book. I've never read a book faster in my life. I think it like took me less than a day. Like, it was just so good, because I just wanted to like get all the information as fast as I could. And what I will say is, like, if you haven't read Britney Spears' memoir, it's a very quick and easy read, because it's definitely not meaty. It's almost kind of like a stream of consciousness. Like, it feels like a diary. Like, she really moves through things really fast. And that's the thing, like, I'm so impressed with Sam Lansky. It was her ghostwriter. And he is such like a beautiful descriptive writer, but he was really able to capture Britney's voice. Like, it really sounded like her to me.
Yeah,
like
it
really did. And this is like not a read at all. Like, this is like, this is a compliment. It sounded so much like Britney that it really felt like an elevated Instagram caption. Like, everything sounded like she would say, like, even just like the way she would, like, the sentences were put, like the sentence structure.
Yes, for sure.
Like Britney Spears. I actually
got the audiobook. So I did, because it's Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a weird choice, right? But yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You've heard clips of it, I'm sure.
I've heard clips of it, and I was actually just talking to somebody.
She sounds just like her in some parts.
Yeah, that's what they said.
The same intonations. There's like weird inflections. It's just like she very much studied the way Britney talks. And yeah, it's just like sometimes she sounds deadpan. Sometimes she sounds like not excited. It's just like it's all over the place. But I thought it was, I'm really happy I got the audiobook. Honestly, anytime there's an audiobook, I'm going to get it. Because like when Mariah Carey did hers, obviously, yeah. I'm going to get Mariah Carey, please. But this was really, really good. I actually recommend doing the audiobook. And I went right through it. It only took like a day and a half. But all your points about Sam Lansky, like stream of conscience and just like all of that. But consciousness? Is that what you said? Conscious? Yeah.
But I don't even know. I probably said
yeah, whatever. Yeah. But I was a little like, I guess parts that I loved the stuff about her childhood. Cause I was like, that was honestly the most illuminating I felt because I didn't know that it was that bad. Like her drinking at the age of 13 and all that stuff with her parents.
I know. Going to Biloxi, Mississippi to get her strawberry daiquiris with Lynn.
That's so trashy, but makes so much sense. And I didn't realize that her dad was such a menace and so terrible. And I didn't realize it was that bad, which makes so much sense. One thing I liked when she was kind of describing, although I felt like the first album, she really kind of glazed over. Like she was like, we did the video. Mm-hmm. And then before you knew it, she was already on tour. And I was like, I was maybe expecting more detail about that period because it seems so pivotal in her career. But I guess there's so much ground to cover, so you can't really.
Right.
I was also... She kind of glazed over in the zone and she touched on Blackout, but then really like, did she even describe like the making of Circus at all? Or is that just me? I feel like she didn't talk about Circus. I think she hated that era.
I mean, like looking back on it,
that's when the conservatorship started.
Right. So maybe it's like a coping mechanism, but yeah, that was interesting that she didn't talk about it at all. She talked about Femme Fatale. She talked about Britney Jean. But yeah, she didn't mention Circus whatsoever.
Like nothing. Like she talked about the tour that she fucking hated.
Yeah. Which is, it's actually interesting that she didn't mention Circus because that was the beginning of the conservatorship. And like, that was the album she was pretty much forced to do.
But it was honestly kind of like considered a comeback too, because it did well.
Yeah, no, Circus was like very commercially successful. It was a really good album, but I think, she does talk about Blackout in the book and how proud she is of it and how she thinks it's like the best work that she's ever created. And that was obviously before the conservatorship. So maybe just like, and the crazy thing is that Blackout came out just 1 year before Circus did. So in my mind, during that time, Circus did feel like a comeback because even though Blackout was like incredible, she didn't promote it. She didn't like.
She did like two videos for it, and then that was like,
She didn't. It didn't have like the same like glitzy, glamorous rollout that like Circus.
But people loved it.
Yeah. Oh, people like loved it.
I love it. That's her best album. I mean.
Oh yeah, no skips. It's just crazy, like the way that you know. Even as like, I'm so like ashamed as her fan for like not seeing all the bullshit that was like in plain sight, like in front of me at the time, like me buying into, oh, her dad saved her, and me buying into Circus is a comeback, when like it was literally hardly a year and she just released like the greatest album of her career. And so I don't know, I was just like, truly.
A good portion of the book is about the conservatorship, which I understand a lot of people have the most questions about, I think.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize like how much of it. It was like, honestly, the back quarter of the book was really just conservatorship stuff. Yeah. But I guess that's for effect too, because to really understand how like draining and prison-like it was, the only way to do it is to have it trudge along and you just feel like, fuck, we're still on this. But it kind of need it to be, but I thought it was well done.
The conservatorship stuff was like really interesting. Like, I guess there definitely like was, more detail and insight surrounding the, when she was forced to go to the facility, that was, I guess it's like a drug rehab mental facility. Like, I don't even really know like, but that is like the one thing that I think is, that she's like stuck on, that is so unforgivable to her, and like rightly so. I mean, experience sounded so beyond fucked up. And like, I looked up the place where she was at, and it like truly is like low rent, like bottom of the barrel, absolutely disgusting. And then I also just like, I'm really sad for her, like the isolation of being there alone, and then the immediate switch to having to be among the other residents of this this facility. Like, the isolation is terrible because like you're isolated and you're lonely, but then like also being forced to mingle with others like halfway through your stay as Britney Spears must be so,
that's what I kept thinking of. I was like, do they come up and want autographs? Do they care? Are they, but then they're also like drug addicts too. They're like,
right. Well, and that's the thing too. Like, poor Britney is there because she was like stashing energy supplements because they were forcing her to still fucking work. It, like, that's the thing too. If you haven't read the book, like the way Britney writes it is like she was forced into this mental health facility for 4 fucking months because she was stashing energy supplements and she refused to do one dance move, which is so insane. So then she's like in this facility with people who are like potentially schizophrenic or using black tar heroin, and she's like, I just had my like energy gummies and didn't want to do a pirouette or a body roll, and how am I here?
It's fucking crazy. That's you guys crazy. Get the book, it's really really great. I wonder if there will be, I don't think it would I don't see it as a movie. Oh, by the way, there's a volume 2 coming.
Yeah, she said a volume 2 is coming. And then also there, like all the trades were reporting today that all these different studios are in bidding wars to get the rights for like some sort of like movie or
TV. I don't see it as a movie. I see it as a series, like an HBO series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, maybe like a two season thing, or maybe 3 season. Maybe it does like her childhood, the middle, and then the conservatorship.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a great way to structure it, honestly. The childhood and then like Britney stardom, prime time.
Yeah, all the love life stuff in the middle with Justin to K-Fed.
Oh my God,
you know what I mean? But I think that like you could also, it would be 3 different actresses playing, maybe there's 3 different eras, but I think you could also intertwine it all, like every, because it's like a lot of it goes back to her childhood, so it could be intermingled, and like all of her relationship stuff goes right back to the way she was treated as a child or her love for dance and all that stuff. So
yeah,
maybe I'll write it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. I just interviewed this photographer. His name is Marcus Klinko, and he shot the tour book for the Honest Hotel tour. This was 2004.
So he traveled with her and did it?
It was just like a, you know, like the tour books you get, like you buy at the concert. It was like just like beautiful, like editorial shots that were like specifically.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The tour book and then merchandise and stuff. And so I was talking to him about the photo shoot, and it was like an 18-hour day, and she came up with like all the concepts, like there was like Magic Forest and like Jazz Lounge and Ice Princess. It's different like random ass themes that Britney Spears wanted to do. And so he like built all these sets for her, and they, like he said it was like a great day. She was like really collaborative, like really about it, like very excited to work and get through the day, and said that like back then she wielded like so much control. Like, she called the shots. She came up with like all the concepts and ideas and everything. And like when she's like, when she said something, like that's the way that it went. And her, he said that her team was present the entire day and her dad was there, which is weird because in 2004, like as a fan, I didn't know that her dad
was involved
during that time, like, at all. Like I thought he was like, you know, drinking or like, I think at one point, like Britney bought him like a chicken restaurant to run or something. I don't know. he was there on set. And then there was a time during the photo shoot where there was like a bed set up where she was like in lingerie and was like very sexy. And her dad just like wandered onto the set. He said, like came into the room where they were shooting and like Britney like immediately covered herself up and was like, get out, dad. And like, he just like walked away, no problem. Like then went to play cards in the room next door with like Larry Rudolph the rest of the time. And they just like let Britney do whatever. So it's just really sad to me how much control, like what's really sad to me is Britney went from like break, like Justin breakup to the next year she did In the Zone. Mm-hmm. And then the next year she went on a tour that she says in the book that she fucking hated. Was praying for her knee to break.
God, yeah, she's like, if I something, my knee break again or something, right. My ankle. And then it happened.
Yeah. And then it happened. And my date got canceled and I never got to see that concert, which was sad. Yeah. But then, you know, she jumped right into like Marriage and Babies with Kevin. And then after that was 2007. And after that was conservatorship. So like, if you really like think about like Britney's like active years in the beginning of her pop stardom, like she really only had like 1 year of like just being Britney Spears.
Yeah.
So crazy.
To think about. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. It all happened so fast.
Yeah. Like life just comes
at That's why that period of the book kind of goes really fast. But loved it, guys. Definitely get the book. I mean, it's like the quickest selling celebrity book of all time within a matter of 24 hours. So I'm sure you guys already have it. I'm sure you're already listening to it or reading it or whatever version you guys got. I wonder who's gonna play her. It's definitely gonna get sold. It's gonna be something. They're gonna do something with it.
I know. I feel like the Britney army is gonna be very we're gonna have thoughts, feelings, and opinions about whoever.
Yes. There's gonna be a boot camp for sure.
Oh, like Madonna style, I hope.
Yeah. I still want that Madonna one.
Same.
So this actually leads into my second thing on my list this week is the fact that it's open season on Justin Timberlake. Like, I want his head. Everything about him in that book makes me even more angry. Get him one more time for me, y'all. Keep getting him. It's like I'm never getting over it. We're never forgiving him. I think even Lance Bass came out and asked everybody to just practice forgiveness. I'm like, Lance, you should have just sat there and ate your fucking food. Don't worry about what's going on over here. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Please, Lance, stay out of it. Oh my God. He can be so annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
I was not mad at the public reaction to Justin Timberlake after this book because, he's
got his comments turned off.
Around comes around, as he said, right?
Right. The comments are turned off on Instagram as they should be.
Jessica Biel's comments are turned off. Like,
ooh, well, I don't know that lady. I don't know anything about her life or what she got to do with this, but I guess if she's catching ricochets or strays, then I guess that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do.
Sorry, Miss Beale.
I want to ask you what's on your list this week.
Of things I'm obsessed with?
Yes.
Okay, so number one thing that I am obsessed with right now is liquid nose jobs.
Okay. I've had a few people on this podcast who have gotten liquid nose jobs and they were
really like,
I'm trying to think if she talked about it in person. I feel like she talked about it. I feel like she talked about it on here. I won't call her out, but people get them and it's actually like you get them every what, like 6 months or something like that. And
said like, this should last like a little over a year or something. So I guess because mine was only like a tip lift, like I didn't get it.
Okay.
So I guess because you don't really touch the tip of your nose, like it lasts longer. But it's something that I have been thinking about for a while because at Page Six, like I've been doing more like video stuff. And so when I'm covering carpets, I'll like see like my profile like turn to a, like actually it was like I, it was a video of me interviewing Kyle Richards, and I turned, like, I was like looking at my profile, and I was like, okay, since when did I fucking look like Elphaba? Like, I was like, I did not know my nose hugged down like that. Like, ew. So it's, I've just been like self-conscious about it ever since. And so I was getting pre-wedding Botox, and the front desk girl at the med spa that I go to, I was like, I think next time I'm going to do the liquid nose job. Like, I'm finally just going to do it. And she was like, oh, yeah. I just get it done. And then she showed me her before and after. And then Brian, my soon to be husband, was like, you know what? You should just do it before the wedding, because you're going to keep the photos if you don't. So anyways, got my little liquid nose job, but I will say it was really easy. It was painless. I got it Friday. Today is Tuesday. And my nose is very tight. Like,
oh, okay.
Smiling is like a strain. So,
okay. Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt. It's just
like, tight.
It's just really tight.
Okay.
Like right here. So I hope that it's like a little looser by BravoCon, because I'm going to be looking, I'm going to be talking to like Gina Kirshenhider. Like,
yeah.
But yeah. So that's number one. Number two is, speaking of memoirs, is Cody Rigsby's memoir. I'm in the middle of it.
I have not read it yet, but I need to.
Well, especially someone who like works with him, like you.
Yes.
Will absolutely
love Cody.
Love it. He is just. So, I just.
Does he have an audiobook version? I don't think he does.
He doesn't. That's such a. I'm not an audiobook person, but like.
I'm looking I right
listen
now.
Listen to an audiobook of his, because obviously we all love the way Cody Rigsby.
I'm looking it up.
Delivers a line. But yeah, I love the book so much. It's so relatable, just being like a Britney obsessed gay who like spent the majority of their adolescence in North Carolina. I've like,
yeah,
we, like, it just feels like we're just kindred spirits. But
I love that that's on your list. I'm gonna get into that book next. So
it's so good. And then lastly on my list is Dorit Kemsley. I feel like we're in a renaissance, especially after having her on my podcast today. Like, she is just like in her motherfucking bag right now. Like, I feel like the second episode of Beverly Hills season 13, I just watched that. It's so good. She's such a star. Like, if you guys haven't seen it, PK surprises her with like a pretty woman inspired date at the Beverly Wilshire. And
I don't think that's aired yet.
So it airs tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
And it is just like, it's so good. She like comes in like a red dress and white gloves, like a red diamond necklace, like fully Julia Roberts out.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. Dorit like is camp, and like, I don't know if she's like in on it or not, but I like the ambiguity.
Yeah.
Of not.
I think
knowing.
It's both. It seems
yeah,
both.
It's a little
yeah,
bit, both.
A little bit yeah. both. So she was on the show yesterday. You interviewed her yesterday?
Yeah. Danny and I had her on today. And
today. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know when the episode will come out, probably in like a few days or something, but yeah, she is just she's such a joy.
Did you guys get to ask about what's going on with her and PK?
Yeah, so they're all good, but basically they just had a really challenging year because she had another robbery, which we saw.
Yeah,
She said that kind of like launched her right back into PTSD from like the first robbery. And after like that first robbery, PK like kind of like dove into work. He was traveling a lot, which Danny, my co-host, actually like kind of mentioned this on the podcast. He was like, you know what, maybe that was like a coping mechanism for PK.
Yeah.
And like a light bulb went off in Dorit's head. She was like, oh, I never thought about it like that. Like, maybe like I was being like a little, she didn't say self-centered, but like in you know, more or less, you know, like maybe I was like being a little self-centered, just kind of like thinking about myself, but like maybe he needed a way to cope too from the robbery and not being there, and like maybe having feelings of guilt that he like left me in that vulnerable position, blah, blah, blah. So maybe like he like dove into work to like sort of cope or whatever. So she was having like revelations in real time with us.
Okay.
But she was saying that he was traveling and working so much during a time when she like really needed him, and that sort of like
so made that's them what's challenging
disconnected. Then she said that the rumors about them living apart just like kind of came out of nowhere.
We talked about it on this podcast like last week when I had Lucas Tim on, and there was like a blind item, and it said a West Coast housewife and her husband are completely done. But it's not who you think it is, which means that like it's not Kyle and Richards that they're talking about, Kyle Richards and Marisa that they're talking about. But we were saying it's either Dorit and Piquet, but it doesn't sound like it's them. So it could be Whitney and whatever his name is.
Justin?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because they said that they hint at it on whatever show that they're on. And I don't know. They feel like they hint at that on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I feel like it could be them. That kind of makes me sad because it seems like at one point they really did have like a strong connection. But like Kyle and Mauricio,
a couple
I thought would be in it to win it for eternity. And like seeing the way they've been in these like first few episodes of Beverly Hills, like,
and seeing Kyle being the one who's like, she seems like she's really over it. And
she
doesn't
care. And I don't blame her. Like, because she explains to Dorit, like, I just like need some freedom. Like, I guess she feels a little stifled by Mauricio, who thinks he has one fucking thing to say. Like, I can't believe that he thinks that he can just like comment on like where and when and how and why she gets tattoos. Like, she can get tattoos whenever the fuck she wants to get a tattoo.
She's in her Women and Me era. She just read Women and Me. So
she certainly did. She is definitely in her Women and Me era. Like, she just like needs to do what she needs to do. And it just seems like she's like not giving her the space to like explore and thrive. And
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's a midlife crisis, but like if she's experiencing one, like Mauricio should just sort of like sit back, relax and watch the show instead of like metal. And then there's a moment in episode two when the like mom gets involved, and
oh god,
I guess the mom didn't know that Kyle had tattoos. And then I guess it's unclear whether Mauricio actually has a tattoo or doesn't have a tattoo, but Kyle implies that he has a tattoo to the mother, and then the mother gets upset, and then Mauricio gets upset, and it's like all a bunch of over nothing.
Well, that mother's fucking weird. She's like hugely MAGA. She's like very MAGA. It's very strange.
Her Facebook likes and comments are terrifying.
I want to go over to the bonus episode. I want to talk a bit about more BravoCon, because you said you had some interest, well, some ideas, some not ideas, some thoughts about Shannon Bedore. Is she gonna be? Do you think is she gonna be there?
As so far, yes.
Someone go drive her.
She's teasing her outfits on Instagram. So
okay, so Shannon Bedore is gonna be there in Sin City. Wow, we are gonna talk about all of the other shows. Real Housewives of Miami. Did you see the preview or the premiere?
Yes, I'm in it.
Oh shit. Okay, yeah. And by the time this airs, it will be out, so we can talk about
it.
So let's talk about it over there. Let's talk about you on Real Housewives of Miami. Tell the people one more time where to follow you on social media and where to get tickets for the upcoming virtual reality show. It's in New York.
Yes. Yeah. It's in New York at Chelsea Table and Stage. So they'll be on sale at ChelseaTableandStage.com. And then I'll be posting about it on my socials at Evan Real. So yeah, follow me on Instagram at Evan Real. And then come see me and Danny at our live show, because it'll be another fun time. And
you guys, it's really fun. And my first time there, I met Meredith Marks for the first time. I think I'd never met her before, but yeah, it was Margaret, and it's fun. They bring all their friends too, so like if Justin and Brenna are there, I bet you Uba will come along too.
I hope so. Uba was at our last live show, like on stage with Cy, and that was a really good time. But yeah, it's a very like cool, intimate experience. And a lot of the times, like after the show, like the talent is there just to like hang out.
They just hang out. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So it's really fun. So get tickets.
Hopefully Uba's behaved, because the reunion, let's talk about it over on the B side.
Okay.
That reunion was fucking crazy. I'm not a fan. Patreon.com/TheBList, guys, for the bonus episodes. You can subscribe there. Let's talk about Uba. Let's go over there. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.